What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another hour of the Andy Slater Show on this Tuesday, May 14th. I told all of you to take a nice long weekend. I hope you took my advice. I took a nice long weekend, and I wound up here on a Tuesday in the poker room at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood because tonight, it's a big night. A lot of you in South Florida know that tonight is a big night. It's my poker tournament, and the Florida Panthers are playing the Boston Bruins. So if you're not going to the game tonight, come on out here to Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood to the poker room. Play in my tournament. There's $20,000 guaranteed in the prize pool. It's only $250 to buy in. The tournament begins at 6 p.m. You have until 9:30 p.m. to register. The Panthers game will be on every screen here in the poker room. I'm going to have action on it because, of course, and maybe you'll have some action on it too, so we could watch it together. We'll play cards together. It'll be a great time. It's always a great time, even without a game happening in Sunrise. But tonight, hopefully it'll be even extra special. I am still riding very high off of the weekend and the performance by these Florida Panthers. The last time I spoke with you was on Thursday. There's been a couple of games played since then, and the Florida Panthers have been getting it done. They won two straight in Boston. And those fans, I have a Boston friend, and it's like he just cries and cries and cries, whining and complaining about calls and non-calls. What is it with fans in Boston? South Florida has never really liked Boston because for many, many years, the Patriots owned the Miami Dolphins. Tom Brady. We were jealous, I think it's fair to say, of Boston sports, what was going on in New England. So many good teams and great franchises. And we only really had the Miami Heat doing great. The Panthers were not. The Dolphins were not. They're still not, even though some people think they are. And maybe I'll get into that later on. Maybe at the very end of the hour. Baseball, the Red Sox, great. The Marlins, not so much. So there was some jealousy there, like, oh gosh, Boston's always so great. You wanted to have a sports town here like they have in Boston. And I totally understand that. Now, things have changed. They've changed a lot. Our sports teams here in South Florida, at least the Florida Panthers and the Miami Heat, they've shown what they could do. Boston, we know what they did to the Heat this season, but we know what the Heat did to Boston last season when they were supposed to be really good. The Marlins, they're completely irrelevant. But the Dolphins, hey, it's no longer the Patriots division. Tom Brady's no longer there. Bill Belichick is no longer there. The Dolphins are way better than the New England Patriots. And now you have these Boston fans, and my apologies if you're a Boston fan and you're not like one of my friends or many other people in Boston who cry all of the time. It's like, wah, 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 wah. Everything you complain about. And then you watch the fans in Boston leaving for the exits early. They're upset. They're mad. It's like Boston. For the Bruins, they have so much whining going on. One team is whining, and the other team is winning. And I will take the winning over the whining every day of the week. Wouldn't it be so much fun to get this series over with tonight? The Panthers are a huge favorite tonight. Minus 210 the last time I checked. Just get it over with tonight. Finish off the Boston Bruins tonight. Boston is going to fly back to Massachusetts, and the Florida Panthers can just stay here. Stay here and await whoever they're going to face next, where they'll have to fly. Either to New York or to Raleigh to take on the Carolina Hurricanes. There's a bit of misinformation out there. Some people don't understand it, and I get it. hockey is not extremely popular here as other sports are, but right now the Florida Panthers own this town, as they should. Assuming the Florida Panthers advance, whether it's tonight or in Game 6 or Game 7, but hopefully tonight, the Panthers will not have home ice advantage against either the Rangers or the Carolina Hurricanes, whoever wins that series. So the Panthers will be starting out on the road. The reason for that, the conference final and the Stanley Cup final go by points. Whoever had the most points. It's not about seeding. And the Rangers, they had more points than the Panthers. The Carolina Hurricanes had one more point than the Florida Panthers. So if Carolina does come back to beat the Rangers, which I believe they can, because the Rangers last night looked horrendous. I have other words I can't use here on the airwaves, but they looked like dog manure. So if Carolina does come back to beat the Rangers, which would be fantastic for the Panthers if they could finish it off tonight, you get some rest. You don't have to go to MSG because that place is crazy. It was quiet last night, but it's still crazy. And you go back to Carolina where you were last season, and last season they swept the Hurricanes. Plus, those teams, regardless of who wins, will be playing seven games, just like Boston played seven games coming into this series. So that'll be the best-case scenario. Panthers win tonight, close it out in five. Carolina and the Rangers, they go to game seven, which I think will absolutely happen. Carolina should win that game Thursday night at home against the Rangers. So that puts them in a game seven. And then whoever wins it takes on Florida. They start with home ice, either Carolina or the Rangers, and the Panthers will be rested. Hopefully they'll have a better game one this time around, but still, that would be best case scenario. Just get this over with tonight. Even if that other series does not go seven, get this thing over with tonight. If the Panthers did not win tonight, I still think they win the series. Boston is just not that good of a team. I only thought Boston was going to win this series after game one, and I completely overreacted. I thought it was all about revenge. It had nothing to do with rust and rest and all of that. Swayman was the hot goaltender. Boston really had it out for the Florida Panthers, and that was going to win them the series, and it showed in game one. I was afraid of that, but I was, as we have the audio, a big bowl of wrong.
You're just a big bowl of wrong.
Now, of course, the series is not over yet, but I do believe tonight, around 9:30-ish, it will be over, and the Panthers and Bruins will sort of shake hands. I always see the team shake hands. I mean, it's just a tradition in hockey. The NHL playoffs, the series is over. No matter how many games it goes, 4, 5, 6, 7, they line up and they shake hands. Well, Boston has a lot of problems with the Florida Panthers, particularly with Sam Bennett. Are they just not going to shake hands tonight? If they don't shake hands tonight, I hope it has to do with not liking each other and not to do with this series is going to a game six. So let's root it in tonight. I'm going to have a parlay in tonight. I'm going to be playing cards here in the poker room, my poker tournament, the Slater Scoops poker tournament here at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino, watching the game, hopefully winning my own tournament while you guys fight for second. We'll root the Panthers in, we'll root a parlay in, and we'll have a lot of fun. And the Panthers will win. If you're going to the game, enjoy it, have a great time, take it all in, and take down those Boston Bruins. How awesome would that be? How much more whining will Boston fans be doing, and the team themselves? And look, this isn't a minor conversation about the whining. Because I think, and it's not the fans, it's the team. I think the whining, the complaining, the kvetching, I think it has a lot to do with what's gone on in this series. Not as a result, but before the result. Like what the Bruins are actually doing on the ice. I want to get into that. I want to explain in case you're confused. What did I just say? I'm going to tell you exactly what I meant, but I can't until this hour officially begins.
It's time to shuffle up and deal.
There's definitely been noise in this series, and at the same time, there's substance. This Panthers-Bruins series is a perfect example of the difference, though, between noise and substance. We've had both. The Boston Bruins are making a lot of noise. You can hear them complaining, and I'm not just talking about the fans. I'm talking about the team. They're complaining about the officiating. They're complaining about Sam Bennett. They're complaining that the Panthers are dirty. They're complaining about Tkachuk. They're complaining about everything. And on the end of it, the Florida Panthers, they're all about substance. Substance being the stuff that matters. Winning. Goals. The Eastern Conference Final. Fixing problems in real time. What's been so impressive is that the Panthers have not taken this bait. Boston has tried every single trick. They're overmatched. I think it's very evident. And they know they're overmatched. So let's just go ahead and start complaining and whining. We'll make up a bunch of excuses. And maybe we'll get to the Panthers. Well, how many of those excuses and how much of that whining has worked in the Bruins' favor?
Zilch.
Nothing.
Nada.
Small potatoes.
No potatoes.
Diddly squat.
A big old goose egg.
Nada. Everything the Bruins have thrown at the Panthers to try to get them off their game has not worked. And I don't think anything will work. This all started in Game 2. Game 2, the Bruins came into this series flying high. We saw Game 1. Here I am on the airways after Game 1 overreacting. I'm in a miserable mood. The Panthers had a week off. The Bruins, they come in after a thrilling overtime-winning Game 7. They advance. They fly to Fort Lauderdale. I almost said Sunrise, but you can't fly to Sunrise. You fly to Fort Lauderdale. They land at FLL. They go to their hotel. They take a bus to Sunrise, and they put it to Florida. They absolutely put it to them. They were ready for that game, and the Panthers, they responded in Game 2 by punching back. They had a huge third period lead, and in that third period, suddenly, brawl after brawl after brawl. In that moment, when the Panthers were smoking the Boston Bruins, Boston was trying to knock the Panthers off their rhythm. Boston was trying to make a statement, which was, hey, okay, yeah, we know we lost this game, but we are the more physical, more dominant squad. You're going to have to bring it to win a game in our building. That Game 2 strategy for Boston, it backfired. Because the Bruins picked a fight. Pastrnak tried to fight Matthew Tkachuk. And he got his butt beat. Then the complaint became, okay, Tkachuk was dirty. He hit him too late. Blah, blah, blah. You could say whatever you want. I would say don't have your guy start a fight that he can't finish. And that's what happened. That is a big-time distinction between these two teams. The Bruins are starters, and rookies are starters. The Panthers are finishers. That's a veteran move. This applies in every sense of the word. The Bruins start fights. The Panthers finish them. The Bruins score early goals to start the game. The Panthers score late goals to finish the game. And maybe a little play on words there, finish, like Barkov and Lundell. So after Game 2, the Bruins were whining about Matthew Tkachuk. And the thought was, okay, Florida's going to go to the TD Garden. Tkachuk's going to have to answer for his crime. Someone is going to have to fight him. Well, the next game, you get more drama. Marchand starts skating at Sam Bennett. And who in the world would have thought on a Panthers team as deep and talented as this one is that Sam Bennett would be the straw that stirs the drink for this entire round? But here we are. So Brad Marchand goes at Bennett. Does he punch him? It looked like it. But was it premeditated? Was it a sucker punch? No. Marchand is hurt. He doesn't play game four, and he's not playing game five tonight. So then you have all the talk leading up to game four. Bennett is dirty. We're going to boo him. He cheated. He attacked Marchand. Bad Bennett. Notice a theme here. After every loss, there's a new excuse. There's a new person to blame. Boston is focused on everything other than, hey, let's score more goals than the opponent. And in that game four, Boston's complaining again. This time the Panthers fall down 2-0. They claw back with a second period goal by Lundell. And then in the third, Sam Bennett knocks a Boston player into their goaltender and sneaks the puck in the net. The Bruins challenge for goalie interference. It is not overturned. The goal stands. And here we go again. Now Boston has another reason to hate Sam Bennett. They have another reason to complain about a loss in this series. They have another excuse to deflect the real story of this series. And the real story of this series is the Florida Panthers are the better team. They shoot more. They go into games with the intent to score, not to fight or complain and whine. Their stars are playing better. The Panthers are a deeper team. When they were down 2-0, they went into their dressing room and said, okay, the first period really wasn't that bad. Too many shots are going through, so we need to block the shots, clear the puck, little things, and they started to do it, and boom. They were able to take control of that hockey game. And that's a credit to Paul Maurice. He is out coaching Boston's head coach, Jim Montgomery. Because Montgomery is allowing his team to get caught up in all the other stuff. The Bruins have taken their eyes off of the prize. Maybe they'll have it back on it tonight, but so far, no. They're not keeping the main thing the main thing. They've gotten sidetracked by everything else. And if you are a good head coach, when you have moments like this, you would say, none of this has to do with us losing the game. We should have done this, that, and the other thing. And you know what? That goal that Sam Bennett got, it wouldn't have mattered. How about a little accountability? It goes a long way. The Panthers have shown it. The one game they lost, they bounced back with a vengeance. They had a bad period. They didn't complain. They fixed it. It's just a different mindset in the Panthers' dressing room. With the Bruins, it just feels like this talk is all fatal to them. It drips into the stands, and it starts with their coach. It's like they have this sense of impending doom, and rather than resist it, they just complain and whine and make empty threats. Like, where's the adult in the room? Somebody who can go in that dressing room and say, you know, threatening to take out a Panthers player because one of our guys got hurt, it is not going to fix the problem. If we really want to hurt them, we need to go out there and beat them because that's what they're focused on. And clearly, the Boston Bruins in games 2, 3, and 4 have not been. Now, those of you who are buying a home, need a mortgage, or you're refinancing, you're focusing on right now, what are you going to do? Where are you going to get that mortgage? Who are you going to call? Let me tell you about the Bagel Loan. I've been telling you about the Bagel Loan for weeks. The Bagel Loan is legit. It works. And Stewie is the man with the Bagel Loan. What is a Bagel Loan? Well, when you look at a bagel or when you're about to eat that bagel, maybe an everything bagel, in the middle of it, there's a zero, a big hole. Zero is what you will pay Stewie. With the Bagel Loan, nothing. No lender fees, no appraisal fees. I'm going to give you Stewie's personal cell phone number. I don't know why you would not call him if you're buying a home, if you need a mortgage, or you're refinancing. You want the Bagel Loan. First, let me give you Stewie's personal cell phone number. Call him up. 561-379-4441. That's 561-379-4441. With the Bagel Loan from Stewie, You pay nothing. Zero. No lender fees and no appraisal fees. MLS number 226715. What a difference a year makes. Think about this Boston Bruins Florida Panthers series. After game one, I was so uncomfortable. I was so worried about last year. The Panthers beat the Bruins last year, and I thought Boston was going to be out for revenge, big time. And after game one, oh my gosh, I thought this series was done and over with. The Panthers had no chance. The Panthers were exactly where the Bruins are now. Last year, the Panthers were down 3-1. Right now, the Bruins are down 3-1. The Panthers had to go into their building, play game five, where they won. Right now, the Bruins are down 3-1, and they're going into the Panthers building, where I hope tonight they will not win. Tonight's the night where the Panthers need to just end the Boston Bruins season. You would think, though, that the Bruins would play this evening forgetting about everything that's gone on so far this series. Forgetting about how they dislike Florida, how they think they're dirty, how maybe some calls didn't go their way. Forget about all that. Will they be able to do it? Probably not. It can get done. We've seen the Panthers do it several times, but I don't think Boston can do the same thing the Panthers can. The Florida Panthers are just a much better hockey team. Instead of good revenge, the right kind of revenge, we're going to have the Bruins focused on that guy checked me, I'm going to get him back. Or I'm going to at least talk about it, get him back in some other way. I have no idea. They just got too much beef against Florida, and I don't think they're going to be able to put that aside. It's so stupid because it makes no sense in a way where you see what you're trying to do is not working. So why focus more on the whining instead of the winning? Why not focus on the main thing? If I was a Bruins fan, I would be extremely unhappy about the way my team is focusing going into each of these contests. You could see it on the ice. For the Panthers, their revenge isn't on Boston. It's about getting back to the Stanley Cup final, but this year winning it. They're focused on the big prize, bringing that Stanley Cup back to Sawgrass Mills Mall. That's where it belongs. Now, I don't know if they'll actually bring the Stanley Cup to Sawgrass Mills Mall, but maybe somewhere in that area. If the Panthers do win it all, I will be so happy. I've been a Panthers fan since their existence. I used to have season tickets in the Miami Arena. It was fantastic. Last year, I went to the Stanley Cup games at home and on the road. Amazing. I didn't go to the last one. I had my poker tournament, and I'm glad I wasn't at the last one because that would have been a wasted trip. This year, if the Florida Panthers can get the job done, beat Boston tonight, finish them off, win the next series, whether it's against the Rangers or the Carolina Hurricanes, and then win that Stanley Cup, we're going to have a parade somewhere in Fort Lauderdale. Let Boston fans boo, throw things at their television, do whatever you want. I was listening to Sam Bennett talk after game four in Boston, and he's like, hey, they're booing me, and it's the first time I've been booed, but I like it. Like, I really enjoyed it. It pumped them up. All the Bruins and their fans are doing are just distracting. Like, they're distracting themselves. All the talk and complaining, it's meaningless. It's meaningful for the team playing Boston, so keep doing it. Keep talking, keep complaining, keep saying the deck is stacked against you, because you keep thinking that, it's gonna actually happen. It's going to turn into reality. A little bit of this complaining and whining reminds me of the Heat-Celtics series. Remember after game one? The talk around Boston was the Heat ordered a code red on Jason Tatum, and Caleb Martin, he executed it. That was so dumb. The foul in question, Caleb was pushed into Tatum. He didn't even want to commit the foul. And yet the Celtics latched onto this narrative. Okay, we're going to get payback against Caleb, and on and on and on. And what happened in that next game. Game two, the Heat came out and they smacked the Celtics around. An onslaught of threes, and it was a huge win for Miami. At least to the Celtics' credit, after the Heat beat them in game two, the Celtics were able to lock back in and forget about the nonsense. It was more important to them to get W's, and that's what they did. They took it to the Miami Heat on the floor. The Bruins, they're not taking it to the Panthers on the ice. I don't believe that this Bruins team, the one that will be in the building tonight, I don't think they've let go of any of these games that have taken place. All the excuses, it's something that's on their mind. The reality is the Panthers are just the better team. Barkov has been so great all playoffs long. A beautiful, high-skilled goal. The Panthers just have better players. They have players better than anyone Boston can counter with. And when you're going to have a conversation in this series, that is the only thing in the end that matters. Unlike if you're at Gulfstream Park wagering, maybe first place doesn't matter because you can bet an exacta where second place matters, or a try where third place matters, or a superfecta where fourth place matters, or a high five where fifth place matters. There's so many different wagers at Gulfstream Park, and you could go to live races at Gulfstream Park 4 days a week right now, every Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It is the Royal Palm Meet in Hollandale Beach at Gulfstream Park. And when I go to Gulfstream Park, I love going there. I go to their trackside restaurant, 10 Palms, get myself a table, have a fantastic meal, whether it's the buffet on the weekend or off the menu. The menu items are really good. I watch the races live right in front of me. And of course, you know, I wager on them. You don't even have to wager a lot. You could wager 10 or 20 cents and possibly make thousands of dollars. I see it happen all of the time. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Those are the 4 days they got live races going on at Gulfstream Park during the Royal Palm Meet. If you want to go to the trackside restaurant, make a reservation. It's the easiest thing to do. Visit GulfstreamPark.com. Head on out. Any of the live race days, those are the best days to go during the Royal Palm Meet happening right now at Gulfstream Park. I want to squeeze one or two football notes in here real quickly. You guys have probably seen the news from earlier with the schedule release being tomorrow. Some of the stuff the NFL is putting out in advance. And there are some Dolphins fans who, you know, I was just talking about Boston fans whining. Dolphins fans, they see that they're going to take on the Bills. It's going to be a home game for Miami, and it's going to be week two on a Thursday night. That's going to take away our home field advantage. That's what Dolphins fans are saying. No Sunday 1 p.m. game where the Bills have to play in the heat, and then the Dolphins will have to go to Buffalo maybe in some very cold weather, or it'll be a snow game. Forget about that. The Miami Dolphins need to take care of business against the Buffalo Bills when they face them and forget about all of the excuses. Because if the Dolphins are going to do anything this year, while it's better that they have home games at 1 p.m. on a Sunday, they're going to have to do a lot more than that. They're going to have to win on the road in conditions where it may be cold. If the Dolphins are going to get to that level, that's what they got to do. So forget about that. Don't be like a Boston fan and don't whine. And then the other thing I want to bring up, yesterday, Jared Goff gets paid. We see that news. And you wonder, what is Tua going to get? 50 plus million a year? You know what? That's what quarterbacks cost nowadays. If they're going to sign Tua to a long-term deal, that's what he's going to get. Question is, do you sign Tua to a long-term deal? I'm glad the Florida Panthers are playing because we don't have to talk about Tua and a possible extension every single day. We'll have time for that later on. Some of you don't have time to walk around your neighborhood. You want to get on a golf cart that maybe you've seen. Yesterday, I saw one heck of a golf cart riding around in my neighborhood. And you know what? It's not really just a golf cart. Cliggy's carts, they are so much more. You could say golf cart, but you actually can have a license plate. You can have a VIN number, a legit street legal cart. And not only does Cliggy have all aluminum carts that are 48 volts, he's also got the 72 volt carts. Cliggy is an exclusive Royal EV dealer. If you're going to get one heck of a cart, you want to get it from Cliggy's Carts. Go ahead and Google Cliggy's Carts. You'll see exactly what I'm talking about if you haven't seen it for yourself already. If you want to go for a test drive, you don't have to ask your neighbor. Just go to Cliggy's Carts. It's 1751 West Copens Road in Pompano Beach. And right now, Cliggy will give you a $2,000 rebate. If you are going to get a cart, you want to get it from Cliggy's Carts. Well, as I've said many times already today, my poker tournament is tonight here in the poker room at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. $20,000 minimum in the prize pool. And it's going to be another heck of an event where I try to get first place and you guys fight for second. Jason Heidenthal, he runs the tournaments here at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. Always doing a great job, not only running tournaments, a big part of the room along with Bill Mason. You guys, I know, have a Panthers game to attend tonight. But you know what, Jason? There's only about 19,000 people that can go to a Panthers game. So that leaves a lot of people that can come here to my tournament, watch it on all the screens, because you know I'm going to have some action on it too, and play in my tournament at the same time. Can we get that confirmed? Every screen in this poker area near my tournament will be showing the Florida Panthers tonight and not the Miami Marlins.
No Marlins, no Heat. They're out. They're gone.
Yeah, thanks for the reminder.
Sorry. I know.
That's like me reminding the audience I'm going to take first place and they're here to fight for second.
Second place pays a lot.
It does. That could be a new name of the tournament.
I love the name
the
change.
The Andy Slater Second Place Pays a Lot Tournament.
Look for it next month. I don't know. I'll have it on the calendar that way.
But we got the Panthers game.
Every TV Panthers game tonight. I'm going to be tonight. At the game.
Yes, I know that.
I will be at the game. But for here, all the players, Panthers games, every channel against the Bruins, close it out tonight.
Close it out tonight. The Panthers advance tonight, and I advance to get my fourth victory in my own tournament. So four victories for me. Tonight will be the fourth victory for the Panthers over the Bruins in this series. 4-4.
Did you add one to
That's
your own total?
That's a perfect parlay.
Did you add one?
No, I have three.
I thought you had two.
No, see, you just, you know, no, I have three.
We need to fact check this.
Yeah, go ahead, fact check it. I have three. Tonight will be four.
All right.
And tonight for the Panthers, it'll be four.
Excellent.
4-4.
4-4.
You have a lot coming up aside from just tonight, because some people are going to the game tonight, and I understand. It's a big event in town. This actually will take a backseat to the Panthers game tonight. It's first time, really, this is taking a backseat to anything. But there's still plenty of people that will be out here. A good opportunity to play some cards and get your hands on some of that prize pool. But after tonight, you have the Deep Stack series coming up. I am going to play in one of those the following weekend, which is the, I believe, called the Deepest Stack that has a $300,000 guaranteed prize pool. But you have other tournaments that begin when? Thursday?
This Thursday, correct. Yeah, this Thursday morning, 11 a.m., we're kicking off our annual May Deep Stacks series here in the poker room. So tons of tables available inside the poker room here for this event. This is like a player favorite, you know, like the local favorite tournament. It's a very, very, very good structure for all these events. We do have our deep stack followed by our deeper stack and then the deepest stack that you mentioned. Big guarantees. We're kicking off this Thursday, $400 buy-in, 100K guarantee. All these events, they're so deeply structured that you can actually buy in up to the start of day two. So throughout your entire flight on your opening event, all the way up until cards in air on day two. Great tournament structure, you know, for those players that want to play poker.
Is this also a good tournament? Because I see the buy-ins. They start Thursday with $400, and that's got a $100,000 guarantee. They escalate a little bit until next weekend, but there's also some other tournaments in there, too, for $150. Would you say this is a good tournament, Jason, to get into if you haven't really you know, played in a serious tournament yet, but this is still serious in the same way as it is in the ballroom at times?
It's definitely a serious tournament. And
well, I'm playing in it. I mean, of course, it's got to be a serious tournament. I don't play in Mickey Mouse tournaments.
And there's definitely lots of play when it comes to the way we format the structures on these events. You know, they're designed to last longer and, you know, for you to get your full value. So for any player, whether you're experienced, inexperienced, whatnot, you want to get your feet wet in a tournament, this opening event, particularly, great value. $400 buy-in, 100K guarantee. you know, levels are 40 minutes long. All right, on a $400 buy-in, 40-minute levels. Day two levels are 60 minutes long.
That's awesome. You get to play cards.
Absolutely. So you're in for a long event. I will tell you that. You know, day two will be on Sunday. Day three will follow up on Monday. So it gets dragged out, but there's tons of play.
You get a trophy if you win?
Of course. Of course. Well, you're licking your lips now. You're like, I might play all these events.
I actually am.
You know? You heard there's a trophy. Now you're in for all of them.
Yeah, because, you know, I want to add to my trophy case.
There you go. I think it's a good thing.
I have a lot of firsts, but I want more firsts with trophies. I like the money and everything.
Money's great.
And just so I can clarify what I said about 65 seconds ago, I don't play in Mickey Mouse tournaments because there are none here at the Hard Rock. I have played in some Mickey Mouse tournaments in other places, but not here at the Hard Rock because... This has nothing to do with Disney. It has nothing to do with Mickey Mouse. And you guys, you and Bill Mason and everybody involved, you have an excellent product here. And I really mean that. That's why I'm here.
Absolutely. You know, we design all of our tournaments to kind of, you know, fit everyone's needs, you know. Every tournament that we offer here can't go 12, 15, 16 hours or 2 or 3 days long. You know, there are certain tournaments that are designed to finish in a day, such as tonight, you know, like, it's for the recreational player getting off work. Come down, play with Andy tonight. Slater Scoops, 20K guarantee.
And you have, I'm glad you brought that up, getting off work. Because I always say cards are in the air at 6 p.m. That's when the tournament begins. Some people may think, gosh, you know, I don't get off work until 6 o'clock. And by the time I get there, it's going to be 6:45. But that's fine because you have until 9:30 p.m. to register.
Correct.
Can you explain, not just for my tournament tonight, but all of these tournaments that you guys have a starting time, but registration is open sometimes for hours. Tonight, 3.5 hours. What is it like for somebody who gets here, let's say tonight, at 8:45 p.m.? Do you look at that as an advantage or disadvantage? Because I've heard it both ways.
So it truly depends on the levels and the starting stack. There's always going to be late registration for all tournaments, okay? So most of our tournaments just have a two-hour window, you know, like our nightly tournaments, two-hour window. Ones with larger guarantees, we might leave open for a little longer. I think 4 hours is the absolute max on any tournament, even if it's like a multi-day type thing.
But some of these big tournaments, I mean, the registration's open for like 8 hours or something, right?
Sure, like our WPT main event, you know, like those events, $3,500 buy-in, we start up at noon or 11 a.m., and reg is open through the dinner break all the way until 9 p.m.
Okay, so people hear you say, and I talk about it all the time, I played 11 hours today, mm-hmm. you know, and I advanced to the next day. Maybe somebody's thinking to themselves, well, geez, you know, I don't have the stamina for that. So it's an advantage to them to get here later, so they're playing less, and they still have an opportunity to move on to day two or the final table.
For sure. Everyone looks at a tournament differently. Everyone has different value and time and what they could be doing outside of here. But everyone wants to get in that tournament.
There's things to do outside of here. I mean, I'm always here.
Yeah, like going to the Panthers game tonight.
Yes, that's true. But again, there's only 19,000 people that could fit in that building, and a lot of those tickets are already taken. So if you're not going to the Panthers game, you come here.
You're coming here.
You get to hang out with me. I mean, that's number one. After you get to hang out with me, then you get to play cards. You get to play in my tournament. You get to try to take my chips. Keyword, try. And at the same time, trust me, we will be watching the game on all of these screens. I'm sitting here at the table right now with Jason, and I'm not going to count it. But off the top of my head, I would say there's about 18 screens that I could see just from this table.
I think 18 is a good guesstimate from where we're sitting right now. 18 to 20.
Yeah, I mean, just where I'm sitting right now. And I can't even see everything. So we'll have action on the game tonight. I know I will have action on the game tonight. There's going to be action on the tables here in the poker room at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. If you're going to the game tonight and you can't make it out to my tournament, that is considered an excused absence, so we will allow you to participate next month.
Excellent.
But just make sure next month you tell me the reason you missed this month. It was for the Panthers game. Not tomorrow, but Thursday.
Do they need to provide a picture?
No,
like a selfie of the ice in the background?
You know, poker's a very honest game.
Okay.
There's no bluffing. There's no lying. At least I don't play that way. So you just have to say it, and I'm going to believe you. But you can come out starting Thursday. You guys have nightly tournaments, so you can come out anytime. But Thursday all the way until the following weekend, you're talking about 10 or 11 days to get into some big-time tournaments.
We got eight trophy events, may I add. Eight trophy events. You can play them all, win all eight trophies. Very unlikely.
SeminoleHardRockPokerOpen.com. That is the site to go to. Again, SeminoleHardRockPokerOpen.com. You'll see the entire tournament schedule on there, the bonus high hands. When you've got that going on in the room, there's a lot of action here right now in the early to mid-afternoon as we sit here. Cash games, so many different options. Plus, Jason, you have your big tournament coming up in a couple of months from now. I believe at the end of July, and you're talking about millions of dollars.
Oh, yeah. That schedule is posted on our website right now, shrpo.com, as Andy mentioned. That is the next ballroom event. It's going to kick off on the 31st of July, so that's, you know, towards the end of the summer.
Never
know.
Too early to put it in your calendar on your phone, though.
Bookmark it now.
Yeah.
July 31st all the way to August 13th. There's 61 trophy events for that series. It's a two-week series over in the ballroom. That's our series. We will have a live-streamed main event for that. The main is a 5,300, but plenty of satellites at a small buy-in. We're even going to be running satellites here in the poker room for that $5,300 buy-in. And that entire event's going to be live streamed, actually.
That's awesome. So people will be able to watch me play. I just put the link out social media.
That would be amazing. We're going to fire that link.
I mean, it's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
We're going to throw you on a feature table, and people are going to...
Will be.
It
will be amazing. Would be. I mean, you got no confidence in me. Come on. All right. I hope to see you guys out here tonight. $250 to buy in, $20,000 guaranteed in the prize pool. We'll have the hockey game on all the screens, and I'll have action on that. We'll have action on the table. It's always a great time. Jason Heidenthal, thanks for joining me here in the poker room, as you always do, the day of my tournament. Thanks to everything you do, Bill Mason, and the incredible staff here inside the poker room at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. Hopefully, I get two victories tonight, the Panthers and my own. Panthers, four wins in the series. Me, four wins in my series, 4-4.
I like the outcome of one of those two things happening.
You don't have confidence in the Panthers tonight?
I love
Come
the
on,
Panthers
they're a big,
tonight.
They're a big favorite.
They are a big favorite. They're going to close it out.
Speaking of closing it out, that's all. I mean, you're like a professional here. I mean, close it out. You know that the hour's coming to an end, and I'm just going to segue into speaking of closing it out.
You're welcome.
That's all the time I've got for this Tuesday afternoon. I'll see you here tonight in the poker room at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. For now, I'm Andy Slater, and I'll see you later.